saber rattling, or maybe just late August, when money comes off the table on stock markets.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The price of crude oil went up about 2.5% early today amid the escalation of warnings of accountability for Syria following what the Obama administration calls undeniable evidence the Syrian government used chemical weapons last week. And with these tensions, we are told the stock market would be down, and indeed in early trading it was down resolutely. On Tuesdays, we consult Julie Neiman, the analyst at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Thanks for joining us, Julie.
Morning, David.
So worry about possible U.S. and allied military action in Syria seems to be the guiding principle on financial markets this morning. Fair enough.
Well, some things never change, and that's anemic trading. You always have this going into Labor Day. August is a light month, and any moves are always exaggerated. It is vacation, and none of the traders carry big positions when you go on vacation. However, the pundits must always attribute a specific reason to why the market's doing it. In this case, it's Syria. The reality is it's a reason to book profits ahead of a potential mess. And the mess we have coming up is this economy is not recovering smoothly from the depression. It's fits and starts.
Now, Treasury Secretary Jack Lew says the federal government will bump into the limit on federal government borrowing on a date in October that's slightly earlier than expected. It's like, what, Julie, some kind of Seinfeld rerun, but not nearly as funny?
Treasury Jack is sitting on the Treasury chest here, and he's running out of gold. He's done everything he possibly can, shifting bills around, paying everything, but the bills have come due. But the markets are really reacting to the economic data. And will the Fed come in or will the Fed not? So the whole question now is a combination of tapering and then analysis of all the garbage that's coming down the pike from Congress.
Julie Neiman, Smith Moore & Company, thank you very much.
You bet.
From Urban Outfitters to Oreo cookies, a growing number of brands are experimenting with Vine to interact with their customers. The Vine app lets users shoot and then share six-second tiny videos. Now it's at the center of a new marketing campaign from the travel lodging website Airbnb. Shannon Mullen has our story.
It's been almost a century since the intersection of Hollywood and Vine in Los Angeles was an epicenter of the film business. Airbnb likes the play on words, calling its short film campaign Hollywood and Vines. Vivek Wagle is the company's head of brand strategy.
We thought of Hollywood as, you know, the legacy of storytelling and Vines as the future of storytelling in video form.
Wagle won't reveal the plot, but he says the theme is finding your place in the world. Airbnb is posting a list of shots on its website, and people can submit their vines on Twitter. The final product will air on the Sundance Channel.
This is sort of the next evolution of brands trying to engage with consumers.
Matt Britton is CEO of the social media marketing firm MRY. He says Airbnb is getting people to interact with its brand.
You know, if they can do that and at the end of the day also have great content, which they can then bottle up, repackage, and share, well, then that's even more of a win.
Britton says the campaign helps Vine, too, adding Airbnb's customers to its growing user base. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
If your experience is with public school, my next interview may seem like it's beamed in from another planet. There's a private school in Texas with an investment club where students get practice managing a stock portfolio. But unlike so many other student portfolios that use virtual, fake, monopoly kind of money, students at the Greenhill School in Dallas are using real money. By real, I mean $100,000 chipped in by board members and other stakeholders. With Greenhill starting its academic year this morning, I wanted to talk to one of the students running the portfolio, Lewis Carlson, incoming senior. Lewis, good morning.
Good morning.
So what are some of the rules for this portfolio? You can't just trade willy-nilly. There are some rules.
Yeah, absolutely. For instance, like, we have to trade only U.S. stocks, and there are set limits to how much of a stock we can own, so we can't just go all in on one stock or one sector. So we're trying to diversify so we don't, you know, lose all our money on one stock, obviously.
I got to ask you, though, why not just run a fake portfolio, a simulated portfolio? That also can be instructive.
That's actually what we did for a while, but the problem with that is kids would invest in only brand names they know, like McDonald's and Chipotle, or they would go all in on very risky stocks, So we had to make it more like the real world.
It's been trading along since earlier this year. Dare I ask, how are you doing?
We're actually doing pretty well. As of this morning, we're up a total of $500, which is good because last week on Friday, we were down 78. But for the most part, our performance has mimicked the stock market or the S&P 500. And for the most part, we've been in the green.
So you're up about 500 clams at the moment. What if the portfolio does really well by the end of the school year? Who gets the profits?
Ideally, we would have the profits actually go back to Greenhill so that they can use them as scholarships for kids to go to Greenhill as well.
So given your experience with this real money portfolio, do you care to offer any advice to others about ways that they should pursue their own investments?
I think the most important thing that you have to do like right away, you have to start researching the industry, and then you have to look at each stock individually and research that. Of course, there's like a gut feeling that we've got to think about, and the irrationality of the stock market is always a problem.
All right. Well, you know what, Lewis, I want to call you back later in the school year to see if you actually pulled this off.
Sounds great to me.
All right. Lewis Carlson is an incoming senior at the Greenhill School in Dallas, Texas, which is starting its school year this morning. Lewis, thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Now, if you think you have a shot of persuading your local school board to earmark $100,000 for the High School Investment Club, you might think of playing them that interview. Marketplace.org is where it is. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.